Hey there, I'm Jess Weber, and welcome back to Big Ideas Made Simple. This is a space where we take big ideas that feel layered or abstract and make them practical enough that you can actually use them in your real life. Today's episode started for me at 3 a.m., literally. I woke up in the hotel room at Keller Williams Family Reunion, which is a large national conference that I just attended in Atlanta. And my roommate was fast asleep, snoring like the world's most consistent white noise machine. And this sentence would just not leave my head. Perspective is a proximity play. And so I laid there thinking about it, and then, of course, pulled out my phone to write it down and not lose it. But it stood out to me because I had just spent the last few days with 11,000 of my closest friends. You know, big stage, big speakers, big energy. But the biggest shift for me wasn't the production. It was internally. It was me. You see, I've been to this event for many years. Same ecosystem, same industry, same format, same people. But this year for me was the least scheduled conference I have ever attended. I showed up with one commitment, literally just one, and that was emceeing at the Keller Williams University stage for about an hour. That was it. No stacked coffee meetings or secret connection list, no layered obligations across my different brands or partnerships, no hidden pitch agenda. And now I realize how incredibly radical that was. Because historically, I overscheduled everything while calling it strategic. But that 3 a.m. wake up was where I realized that it wasn't a strategy. It was truly performance mode. You see, old Jess walked into these events on, right? On for teaching, on for connecting, on for representing, on for earning potential. I would leave one session early, not because it wasn't good content, but because I had somewhere else to be. Another meeting or connection, another potential opportunity. And by the end of the day, I'd go back to my room around 5:30 or 6, drop my backpack, and crash on the edge of the bed. And my body would feel wrecked. My brain was mush, and I truly had zero desire to go back out. So I would doom scroll for a few minutes or read a page or two of a book, and then I'd give myself the pep talk, right? The don't waste the opportunity, or you don't get access to people like this very often, or it's only two more days. And I'd push myself to get right back out the door. For some, that might sound disciplined or driven, but that's willpower. And willpower is a short-term strategy. You see, one of my absolute favorite books of all time is Willpower Doesn't Work by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. It's one of those ones that I reread probably at least once a year. And I do that because it's one that has consistently rewired how I see behavior. And what I love about it is that it aligns with everything that we know about how the brain actually works. See, your brain is wired to conserve energy, always. That prefrontal cortex, your executive center, it's metabolically expensive to operate. And I don't say that casually. I mean, I spent more time than I ever thought was necessary studying it during my master's in brain-based curriculum and instruction. So it's not said as an abstract theory, but truly this space is where you spend all day. And you do that monitoring how you're being perceived or switching identities or over-explaining to prove yourself, calculating opportunities, and managing how you show up in different rooms. So you are burning executive fuel consistently. And that's identity management fatigue. So when I was sitting on the edge of my bed in the hotel room, blaming myself for being tired, it was backwards. Because willpower says push harder, but environmental design says, why are you structuring this in a way that requires constant proving? So remember, willpower tries to force identity while environment reinforces identity. And that's the shift that woke me up at 3 a.m. Here's the part I honestly hadn't recognized or fully admitted to myself until this week. When someone asked me what I did in past events, I would lead with titles, you know, tech trainer, KWU instructor, past leadership roles or connections or context. I would verbally vomit credibility because borrowed authority felt safe. I would over-explain because that over-explanation felt like control. But what I recognized was that over-explanation is honestly insecurity wrapped up in data. So, new Jess, I showed up to this event saying things like, I'm a speaker, or I build frameworks, or I help people simplify complex ideas. Or my personal favorite, I'd show off my t-shirt that said, Big Ideas Made Simple. And I just let it land. No justification, no disclaimers, no identity gymnastics. And if something resonated with somebody, amazing. If not, I was okay with that. Because for the first time ever, I had internalized the concept that while there's a lid for every pot, I don't have to be everybody's lid. And that used to scare me. But now I find it incredibly freeing. So one thing that's unique about me is I have a ritual for conferences. You know, I've mentioned on previous episodes that I read a lot, right? And so if someone is speaking at a conference and they've written a book, I read it in advance. And if it genuinely impacts me, I will buy the hard copy and take it in order to get it signed. Not to hoard or for ego's sake, but because I find that an amazing opportunity for intentional connection. And this particular conference had an incredible lineup. I actually brought 4 books with me. And old Jess would have hovered or waited for the perfect moment, or maybe asked somebody else who had more credibility or clout for an introduction to make sure that I wasn't taking up too much space or causing disruption to somebody's schedule. But this time, one speaker mentioned he had to leave quickly. So in a moment, I walked up to him calmly, thanked him for his masterclass that was his keynote, and asked him to sign my copy. Done, right? Then another author and speaker came on, Jenny Wood. And so she was talking about Wild Courage, which is the premise of her book. She shared a story about meeting her husband on the subway, handing him her business card, and making serendipity happen instead of waiting for it. And in the middle of her keynote, she asked the audience to share something they had wildly courageously done in the last week. And so I raised my hand and she called on a few people, but did not call on me. So instead of shrinking, I called out to her and asked that she sign my copy. Not because I was looking for the attention, but because I had read her book and I understood the message. I was acting in congruence with everything she was trying to teach the audience. Because serendipity isn't found, it's made. And here's what's so wild about this experience. I didn't feel an adrenaline rush, right? I felt aligned. And so it allowed me to recognize that tenacity feels natural when you're not auditioning. On the last day when I was packing with my lovely, incredible roommate who's one of my best friends, and I lovingly call my emotional support human at things like this, she said something to me that solidified this idea. She told me that she has noticed how different I am showing up at events like this compared to when we first met. Different in a good way, more grounded, more unapologetic, more myself, right? And she's the one who gave me that word tenacity. She said that I've walked into rooms always knowing that I was smart or capable, but in the past, I showed up feeling like I needed to prove it. And now I don't have to because I know that it's true. And we talked about it in the context of recognizing that I used to operate in the space of kind of a no child left behind act mentality, not because I believed that every human was a child, but because I had this educational conditioning that I had to serve everybody. I had to be everything for everyone. I had to adapt or pull out a facet of my ability or personality to fit the mold or the moment. And that service mentality carried into my entrepreneurship, which meant that I was constantly performing for everyone instead of deciding who I am and finding the right people that align with that. And that shift for me, that's integration. There was this grief, honestly, that showed up for me in realizing how long I had been quietly trying to earn my place. Not because somebody told me to, but because it felt like I had to. I had internalized this concept that optionality looked strategic. But now I recognize that is the fear of closing doors. And this was the first event where I wasn't hedging. I wasn't auditioning. I was fully and completely myself. Same ecosystem, different structure, different Jess. Now, this cannot just be my story. If perspective is a proximity play, then you probably need to do a proximity audit. Not a mindset reset, not a behavior reset, but a structure reset. So let me give you some simple entry points. First, you have to look at your calendar. So I want to ask you, where are you overscheduling to feel important? Where are you stacking meetings because you're afraid to miss something? Where are you leaving something good early in order to chase something else? Margin changes your brain and margin changes your behavior. So I want to challenge you, cut 30% of what you're committed to just as an experiment and watch how you show up. Watch what shifts, watch what feels different. Then when you're in that space, the second thing I want you to think about is when someone asks you, what do you do? How do you answer? Do you over-explain or do you lead with borrowed authority? Do you minimize what you actually want for yourself? Where are you still earning? So try this. Instead of stating what you've done, state what you're becoming cleanly, simply, and stop talking. I say that as somebody who struggles with this, but when you can do that, just watch and see what happens. It's amazing. And then when you can start practicing that and seeing the difference, I want you to really look at the rooms you're in. Where do you feel like you're auditioning? Or where do you find yourself shrinking even a little bit? What spaces do you feel like you need to prove yourself in? And contrast that with where you feel calm or clear or aligned. Choose to spend the most time in those rooms. Change your proximity. Change your people, and your perspective will follow. Remember, old Jess was capable, driven, strategic, but fragmented. New Jess is integrated, and that doesn't mean louder or flashier, just clearer. And that clarity feels like freedom. So if you don't like how you are showing up, don't start with your mindset. Start with your structure. Because you don't need more grit, you need better design. And if you're still shrinking in the rooms you've already outgrown, it's probably time to change the room. So remember, perspective will shift when your proximity shifts. And if this resonated, I'll ask you to share it with somebody who might be quietly also trying to earn their place. And if you're in your own season of evolution, I see you and I would love to connect with you. Because truly, clarity isn't loud. It's steady. It's powerful. And hopefully this landed. But I thank you for listening, and I will see you next time on Big Ideas Made Simple.